Hello, hello, and welcome to Wellness Deconstructed. I'm your host, Dia Jaffer, and today's guest wears many hats. She's a mom, a wellness consultant, a yogi for 22 years, and has been teaching yoga since 2016. She's a certified psychologist, a healer, and a mystic. She helps people in highly stressed environments to manage their stress levels and regulate their nervous system. She's also a tarot reader and does tarot parties, does mediumship, cacao ceremonies, and energy healing. She's also the co-founder of Kilifi Wellness Festival and designs bespoke and tailor-made packages for corporates in highly stressed environments. She teaches 5 different types of yoga: hatha, vinyasa, yin, restorative, and office yoga. And that is none other than Yamati. Welcome, Yamati.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have you here, and like just reading the intro like made me like so intrigued about everything that you do. The most intriguing thing was office yoga. I've never heard of that before. What can you tell us a little bit about it? Like, what is it?
Yeah, sure. So I'll tell you with a bit of a story about how it even came about. What I call my previous life was in advertising. I worked in advertising for 11 years. And in it, I was in the strategic planning and the client management. And then I became a creative. But most of my life was really spent sitting behind a computer. And what I found was the aches and pains and weaknesses on my body were very similar to most of my colleagues. And not just in advertising, but to people in offices in general. Now, I was practicing yoga while still working at this agency, and my practice was really what would ground me and just keep me sane while I worked in this industry, which was very competitive. And I found those specific movements and specific posture work that targeted specific places, say the lumbar spine on your lower back, or the wrists, or the jaw and the neck and the trapezius muscle here, that really started to reverse things like chronic back pain, reverse things like sciatica for especially moms and women in these working environments might know about sciatica, inflammation, pain on the leg. And I found that just literally the asana part, the physical part of the yogic practice, started to reverse certain things that were completely debilitating. And so that's when I then went to become certified to start teaching professionally, I started focusing on building my own sequence to address problems that I saw coming up over and over again. And so that's how the office yoga sequence came to be.
That is so interesting, because I've always I've been to hatha, vinyasa, ashtanga, yin, and restorative as well, but it's always like a sequence that they follow, right? Like, it's always a written sequence that a teacher follows. So, and this one you developed yourself, which is so cool. That's so creative. And it's also something that is really needed, because in this day and age, we're so I feel like we're slaves to the technology, where we're constantly sitting on our phones, our necks are getting twisted in ways that, or staying in ways, places that are not supposed to be there for such long periods of time. That is really cool. So what made you get into yoga?
So I found yoga through a little book. So I've been an avid reader since I was a little girl. And I went to a bookshop one day and I found this little Yoga 101 book, which I still have today in my shelf, 22 years later. And it had, it was not more than a 30-page book, right? So very basic, very small. But it had all of these different exercises, from breath work to meditation to different postures, including simple things like a forward fold to really hard things like a headstand. And as a little girl, my dream was to become a gymnast. However, I was ahead of my time, and there was no gymnastics in the 80s in Nairobi. And so this, for me, really brought about the closest thing to being able to manipulate your body like gymnasts do, that it immediately just sparked my heart on fire, and I went home and started trying out these maneuvers. And within 2 weeks of just reading this book and practicing these things, I was doing a headstand on my own at home alone.
Wow.
And so that as soon as I managed to get in there in a headstand, I fell in love. I was like, wow, this yoga practice is going to show me that there are no limits. You know, it's shown me that I can literally do anything I want to do. I just have to believe that it's possible. And so that became the start of my practice. And so since then, it's been exploring. I've practiced all different types, from Kemetic yoga, which is based on Egyptian hieroglyphics, to Bikram yoga. When I was actually in advertising, what kept me sane and stable and managed my stress was going to Bikram 6 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was very militant with my boundaries in terms of my practice. And in fact, I found those 1 year that I did not go for my yoga classes, and I got diagnosed with clinical depression in that year. And that was actually what pushed me to resign from advertising and now go straight into wellness. So I had to use that to help myself heal and to get myself back. And then it's become such a rock that I've not been able to let go of it. So yes, so that kind of gives you a bit of the personal story.
Yeah, I love that, how you were a little girl and you discovered yoga. Yeah. And I feel like even for me, yoga has been, not consciously, but subconsciously, it's been like the first entry into my personal wellness. Mm. Because we started doing yoga and breath work and recitation of Om and stuff from the time we were in school,
That's really cool.
It would be a part of our daily assemblies. Mm. And for our PE exams, it would be like a competition of who can do like more Surya Namaskars,
wow.
You know. Even for like our Independence Day and Republic Day shows, like we would have to do Surya Namaskars to the sun, actually. Mm. Like while the sun is rising, and it would be like a performance.
Amazing.
But I never knew how...
I just got goosebumps.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It was so beautiful, but it never registered.
Mm.
Like it was just a thing that
we were doing, you know.
Mm-hmm. But now that when I sit and think back, I'm like, wow, that was actually the entry point into the whole wellness field. And as I grew up, it was an integral part of my life. Even when I lived in Mombasa, we used to run a yoga studio to encourage this yoga community and bring people that are into yoga together and encourage more people to do it. But there came a point where I realized that I am super flexible and I'm doing all these poses really well, but my joints are hurting and my muscles are actually not getting relaxed by the stretching.
Mm.
Digging further in, I realized that, okay, I'm hypermobile and that's why I'm super flexible and it's not for me. So I had to like take a step back, bring myself back and be like, okay, Zia, I know you love yoga, but you have to like
balance.
Yeah, reconfigure or rethink how you're going to still keep this in your life but not hurt yourself more while doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is not talked about at all, right? Like you're just going to do yoga because it's a really great practice, helps your entire well-being, helps you stretch your body, helps you strengthen also if you do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah.
And yes, it is for everyone, but if it is done after understanding your body.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think just as you're saying, there can be too much of a good thing. There can be too much of you know, anything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even with that, even with the yoga practice, you have to, as you're saying, you have to look at, as an individual, what are my needs? What are my psychological needs, my mental needs? What are my emotional needs? And what are my physical needs as well as spiritual? Because we are more than just physical body, we have the mental body. You know, we've got all of these bodies. And so once you start to become friends with yourself and you start to witness yourself, you start to observe, okay, I'm really needing something to, you know, bring my nervous system into check because what I'm going through at work or whatever, or in life, or just even as a mom, is highly stressful. So I have a need to maybe one, be nurtured. And number two, I have a need to be able to express and release any pent up emotions of frustration. So it's in any single season in your life, it's really about that self check. And once you start to understand what it is that you need, then you can go into seeing what can address it. So yoga postures, there's a yoga posture for everything. I discovered I had, during my pregnancy, that I had low blood pressure. And guess what? There is no medicine for that, or at least not here. And so I discovered that actually, you know, because I am an anatomy geek, that low blood pressure is actually fixed by doing inversions. And so whilst they say, don't do inversions while you do your yoga practice, I love to do my research as to why some things exist and some things are taboo. And I found, well, that's just because of a lot of male influence in the yoga, right? Because even in India, it wasn't until hundreds of years later that women were even allowed to start practicing.
It's a patriarchal society.
Very much so. Yeah. So even within the yoga doctrines, there's still a lot of ignorance in terms of women's bodies.
Yeah.
So the inversions are actually healing postures for low blood pressure. And so in my pregnancy, and I'll show you pictures on my social media, but I am heavily pregnant with my son, who was really heavy. He was born at 4 kilos. And I'm in a headstand. Why? Because I would not be able to physically function well that day if I did not do anything that brought blood to my head, right? So and that was a season in my life. There are other seasons where headstands were just not the thing for me. There are some seasons where yoga postures might not be the thing that is helping me. So for example, for you with your hypermobility, it might be, say, something like strength training is something that's helpful for you. So it's, yes, there can be too much of a good thing, because we're supposed to be understanding how to strike balance in ourselves in life, no matter what age we are. So yeah, so that's my view on it. It's like you keep growing, you keep checking, you keep knowing.
And understanding what works for you, what you need in the moment, right? I love that, because in Ayurveda, I learned to respect and understand everyone's body types and everyone's individuality and their needs. So like we were talking before, like when I feel like really anxious, my vata is high. And now, like you said, there's a pose for everything. So there is a pose actually that we learned in Ayurveda as well, like certain yoga poses that can help reduce vata that you can do in the morning. Even breath work, right? Like if you do alternate nostrils, it's balancing your masculine and feminine.
The left and the right hemisphere of the brain.
Exactly. Yes. So that's so cool. Like yoga has a posture or a fix for everything, you know?
For real.
And that's why it's such a renowned practice. Easy for anyone and everyone to do. But also it's important for them to understand and not do it blindly.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What made you get into the different types?
So I started with this little book, right? And then from there, I'm like, what else can I do, right? What is this yoga world? And so this was back in the 90s. So yoga wasn't here. Yoga was not in Nairobi. It was not in the country. And so as I grew up, it was really about me. I had the benefit of being friends with people from all kinds of cultures and people who traveled from very many different parts of the world. And so they would share a bit of their knowledge of what they know. And then through my work, I ended up traveling a lot. I've been to, I don't know, more than 60 countries. And as I was traveling, if I would hear of a yoga class, I would definitely go and explore. You know, so I would explore by, you know, seeing on TV or just going and taking. So I ended up starting to understand that these different styles of yoga, which was really helpful. So then it's exploring, okay, which one do I like? What does this one do? What does this one do? And then things like yoga festivals started to happen, right? When yoga started to be brought into Nairobi, which was fantastic. And in a festival, it's a great place for you to not have to travel to like many countries to sample different styles. And so when I went into the festivals, my main goal was curiosity. So even if I go into a session that I love, I must sample this other one and this other one and this other one. And the reason I was doing it was really, it was a quest for self-understanding. Like, what is this doing to me? Do I like it? Is it helpful? Is it harmful? And so I found different styles really worked well for me and other styles really didn't. So for example, power yoga does not work for me. Power yoga gets me into my masculine and I'm trying to get more into my feminine, right? So power yoga gets me to produce this testosterone, which gets me competitive and it stresses me out. But if I do something like, say, a flowy vinyasa or a really calm down tempo yin or hatha, then it really gets me into this receptive mode where I'm able to soften and actually be feminine. Right, so it's really it's really about understanding different styles are for different people. So for you as a person getting into yoga, don't think about yoga as it's a one cookie cutter solution. No, there's hundreds of styles of yoga now. So explore all of them as much as you can and see what works for you, because your body will never lie to you. Your body will always tell you, this is good for me.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I love that you said there was no yoga or no wellness in Kenya, rather.
When I started?
Yeah.
No.
And now we're seeing a big scene of like wellness becoming very popular in Kenya, and Kenya becoming a wellness hub, technically, because a lot of people are coming in to Kenya to experience different wellness modalities. Mm-hmm. And you co-founded the Kilifi Wellness Festival, and which is a great initiative, because after Lamu Yoga there was nothing else, and that would happen once a year. So it's a great way to bring people together. Why don't you tell us about what made you start that and what's the Wellness Festival about?
Okay, so for the Kilifi Wellness Festival, it was four of us came together, and all of us are yoga teachers and friends. And what we ended up doing was, you know, we really missed a place that we can convene and gather with like-minded people and do the things we love. And this was during the height of COVID. So when COVID hit, obviously big festivals like the Lamu Yoga had to shut down. Because they couldn't have hundreds of people in one place. So we thought, well, you know, now that they're allowing, you know, small gatherings, maybe we could do something for ourselves. And it started out very casually. We never went into it saying, oh, this is going to be a business venture. No, we wanted to create something that we would ourselves go to, an event, and invite our closest friends. And so that's how it started. And the first festival we sold out, set a limit of like 40 people sold out, because people were also looking for the same thing. And one of the things that I was really passionate about when we went into the creation of this was, it needs to be holistic, because that's how I've lived my life. That's how I've seen the benefits of well-being. It's not just one thing, right? Like, so me as a individual, as a professional, I am a holistic professional. I'm a therapist, right? I'm a psychologist. I'm a yoga teacher. I am a energy healer. You know, I do quite a few things. And I know that each has its gifts and each comes into play to help you with all of the layers of who you are. And so there's an importance about looking at things holistically. I look at myself as a professional, and I am a psychologist, a therapist, a yoga teacher. I'm a wellness consultant. I'm an energy healer, a mystic. We each have a need to bring in different aspects of life to add to our holistic well-being, right? And so I was really passionate about whatever we create to be something like that, to be something that's as holistic as it can possibly be, right? So that it's not just focused on one thing, but it's focused on everything that is wellness, which is how, you know, we all were, and the other ladies were very much in alignment with that as well. And, you know, and we also looked at the diversity of each of us, and we all came with different specialities, even within the yoga sphere. But like, say, for example, one of us was a yoga teacher and a trauma release therapist. I had all of these things that I mentioned. Somebody else was, say, aerial silks yoga teacher and taught circus arts. You know, so there was so many different diversities within us that we said, well, this is perfect. Let's do it like this. And so we birthed the Kilifi Wellness Festival, and it's been fantastic. It's been a space It's been a wellness space that has given many gifts to many practitioners. And so we have a bunch of different classes going on, from yoga to spiritual, like divination classes, to dance classes, to different now practitioners as well. So you can come, and I believe in the last festival, you could come and get certified as a Reiki, you know, Reiki energy healing. You could come and get, say, there was a pet therapist on board. So we like to make sure with each festival you have a range of different practitioners so that you can actually get the festival ness, right, of it, because you go to a festival so that you can experience a plethora of things rather than experience one thing in a plethora of ways. So that was for us what was very important, and so yeah, we focused on creating a space for that.
Yeah, I love that you talked about how you want to bring different aspects of wellness into one. So mm-hmm. when somebody comes, like how you said, you enter a festival with curiosity. Mm-hmm. I feel like anyone that is watching us and wants to explore different modalities of wellness, it would be great for them to come to a festival like yes. that and just get a taster of everything, yeah. you know, and go with the curious mind to be able to explore mm-hmm. and see what is it that is there mm-hmm. to explore, or what is it that they need mm-hmm. From there.
From like physiotherapy, acupuncture, whether it's yoga or breathwork mm. or, you know, even the pet whisperer, you yeah. know. So just yeah, go with an open mind and yeah. and see if there's something that pulls you. Go explore, because there might be some healing and gold nuggets in that
of
for you.
Of course, yeah. I feel like everything teaches you
something,
yeah. right? And then you can pick and choose, of course, with what you need in the moment exactly. or what you need in the season of your life.
Exactly.
That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. And it's a great initiative. I have not been to it yet, mm-hmm. and I've been really wanting to come to one, but one day I shall.
That's okay. That's why we made sure we have them twice a year, so and it's in the first quarter, so around February. There's one coming up. And there is another one that we usually have around July. So this is why we have the festival twice a year. It's a biannual festival, so that if you miss the one happening usually in February, you can always make it to the one happening somewhere around July, August time in the same year.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to give it a try. And you guys should too, mm-hmm. if you haven't experienced it yet. So what made you get into these different healing modalities, like you do tarot reading, cacao mm. ceremonies, mediumship, energy healing? What is it that made you explore these modalities?
So any healing service that I offer is something that I have had a personal relationship with, because I have had to use it for my own healing. Mm. So for example, with the energy healing, you know, I've lived a very traumatic life. I've had quite a few awful things happen in the span of my life, and after a particular stressful event, I've had to go for healing. Mm. And so I found, depending on what I was healing from, some things would work, some things wouldn't. And so I then became very explorative, because I just wanted to heal. Like I needed to get my healing on so that I can just release all of the stress and trauma that was stuck in my body to then reclaim who I was. And these are traumatic incidents, from getting held at gunpoint to losing somebody from suicide, to being sexually abused, to, you know, there's quite a few. And there are many. These are just a few of the ones that I want to mention on camera. But after each thing that would usually break somebody, so I found that there were different things that would work well to help me heal from specific events that might not help me from healing from other specific events. Mm. And so that's really what pushed me into being explorative with the different styles. And so, for example, when I went into energy healing, that was after sexual violence, right? So I realized, you know, I've done talk therapy about this. There's only so much I can get in terms of healing when it comes to this, because I've already been there, I've already done that, yet I'm back at square one. And so when I started, when I went and got my energy healing done, and this was Reiki, I had such a profound shift that it really started to open me up to communicating with my spirit. And that helped me to bring trust back into my body, trust back into the world, right? Trust back into other people around me. And that was phenomenal for me in terms of just helping me heal psychologically, right? So it's interesting because this is from a purely energy perspective, but it helped me heal psychologically, right? And so, you know, and for example, with my friend and colleague dying by suicide, you know, very traumatic. And after that, I needed to be mentally strong to survive living in a world without them, right? And I found actually going for yoga and the strength building style of yoga physically made me stronger, which automatically made me stronger mentally, right? So I would keep trying and seeing, oh, actually, I'm feeling a bit more resilient with this. And so the journey to that just led me down a lot of wonderful rabbit holes that really lit my spirit and that helped me heal. And so any healing service that I do is something that I have had done to me for my own healing. And it's been so profound that I have then felt the need to become a healer of it, right? A space holder for it. And for the mysticism, I was always having a very strong connection to spirit since I was a teenager. I was born into a family of mystics. My mom used to get prophetic dreams. My sister actually used to see spirit and had quite a few, unfortunately, fear-based and a bit unpleasant encounters with that. But I was always so fascinated. And so I was feeling a bit envious because I'm like, I want to see spirits too. Because for me, it wasn't fear. It was really, there was a part of me that just knew this is like coming home. Like, I know there is more to this world than this vision that we see. And common sense will tell you the same thing, because hawks see better than us. Dogs and cats see better than us. So clearly our vision is limited, right? So there's worlds out there that we're not physically able to perceive that impact us, right? And so for me, spirit, being able to communicate and understand spirit, and for me, spirit is nature, is all of this, has been something that's been so, has been so helpful dealing with stressful situations. One of the traumatic incidents in my life, in 2013, my father had a huge accident where he was rendered brain damaged, unconscious, and on life support. And I had to go to the States to make a decision on life support. And I was 28, right? And I mean, you can imagine, this is stuff you watch, right? If you watch Grey's Anatomy or all of these medical shows, medical dramas, you see this as something that it can never happen to you. But yet I was now starring right in the middle of that and being put for a lot of pressure by the doctors, by people around, like, you need to turn off his life support. It was extremely stressful. And the only thing that kept me sane enough to even get to the point where I was able to make a decision, because, I mean, how can you make that kind of decision on your own, for your own parent, you know? And I wasn't even 30 yet. Was yoga, kept me strong, kept me sane, but it was communicating with spirit. So I went into this, because I was just so lost, I went into this desperate space where I was praying and I was looking for answers, and I just needed guidance, because in that situation, you need guidance. And I was in my room, and the windows are closed. There's no vents. There's no air con. There's nothing. And I'd been lighting a candle for my dad. I'd been doing Reiki on him and stuff, and he'd actually been moving, which freaked out the nurses and everybody around, because he had been in a vegetative state and non-mobile until I started to do the energy healing. So, you know, so that's giving me a bit of hope. So then I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to be lighting a candle and just talking to spirit and talking to my father, because I know there's a way we can communicate, even though physically we're a bit limited. And one day I was crying, I was just pleading and asking my dad, like, what do you want? What do you want in this situation for yourself? Are you ready to go? Or what do you want for me as your daughter who's having to do this and hold this space for you? And the candle in my room started to jump, right? So it took me a while to notice. And I'm like, that candle's acting weird. So I'm like, oh, it must be the window. Let me go close. I go to the window's closed. I'm like, huh. I look at the candle. The flame is still jumping. This time it's jumping. So say this is the candle and the flame starts to jump until here, right? So it's really got my attention now. So then I go close to it. I'm like, okay. So I'm putting my hand to see, is there some sort of vent? Is there some sort of physical explanation to what could be happening? And there was absolutely none. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Dad, is that you? Make the flame jump 3 times. I'm like, whoa. This is exciting, because I wasn't feeling any fear to that. This was what I had been asking for, guidance, right? And here's the guidance is coming. And so I started a bit of a communication code with that. I'm like, okay. So I would ask a question and I would instruct, if it's a yes, may the flame jump this way, or may the flame bend to the left or bend to the right. Like, I was saying crazy things, and that would come back to me to confirm certain things. So I started actually communicating with my father that way through spirit. And so that really cemented the mystic in me, like, yo, this is for real. And this is helping me right now in this crazy situation that I'm finding myself right now. And so whatever would be communicated to me through that would be confirmed by, say, so for example, he had told me through that communication that he was ready to go. He was just waiting for me to be ready. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do with that, but okay. And I go into the hospital the next day and he has some sort of infection in his, because they had to put a tube down his throat for him to breathe. So some infection from nowhere has just started around his trachea, and it's really worsening the ability that he has to breathe. Okay, so I'm like, do whatever it needs, fix him, keep him alive. And again, the same message keeps coming back. I go back to hospital, some other infection. So I started to see, okay, no, I can't let him just be suffering like this. And he has been telling me he's ready to go whenever I'm ready. So that's, that was what gave me the strength to make that decision. And it was such a beautiful, peaceful moment of just powerful spiritual, being held by spirit in that. Because my father was off the life support machine for, I don't remember whether it was for an hour or 2 hours, but it felt like quite some time. His heart was still beating, he was still breathing, but things were getting weaker. He was just kind of slowly fading away. And he finally took his last breath and I was beside myself with grief. I actually blacked out because I was told I had to be carried out. I was screaming and crying and wailing. And then when I came back into consciousness, I was in my cousin's car and we were driving to somewhere. And as I came to, the sky, which had been, it had been raining, by the way, that entire time, the sky opened up and these rays of light just came down in front of us, that even my cousins and friends who were driving the car were like, whoa, that is creepy. What is that? And then I remember seeing a rainbow coming over. And every single day that I was in the States since that day, I kept seeing hearts everywhere. So there'd be a heart-shaped cloud that I took a picture of. It's actually one of my first posts on Instagram. A heart on the floor in my yoga mat, a heart everywhere. And that started to become my sign with him, that he was telling me, I love you and thank you for trusting that it was my time to go, but you just had to hold that space for me.
Oh my God, I want to cry.
Yeah, even I'm holding the tears.
I'm sorry
back
for your loss, but thank you for sharing this with us. And that takes a lot of courage.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite an experience.
Yeah, that was I have no words to describe that. That's so beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. So that's what got me to be like both feet firmly in, okay, me and spirit, we're together. We're together in this. And whenever whenever things go wrong, that's when I really lean into spirit. So that's where, whether it's my tarot cards, whether it's me just sitting in a garden and just noticing what comes, right? Because God, spirit, whatever you choose to call this great force that we're around, it will speak to you as long as you are paying attention, right? So certain, like if you're a Christian, there'll be certain verses in the Bible that keep on coming up for you. If you just notice, they're telling you something. For me, who I'm a big animal lover, there'll be specific animals that come, and the characteristics of those animals is a lesson that I'm trying to learn. Right? So I speak to spirit in many multiple ways, and spirit has always spoken back.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. So do you do like guidance for others as well?
I do.
Through spirit?
I do. So actually the Kilifi Wellness Festival was actually my first kind of test run, and this wasn't even my idea. This was me being asked within that space. We heard you're a mystic. Could you do this, right? Can you hold a class for us? Like, can you teach people how to do Reiki? Can you teach people how to do tarot and things like this? And so I'm like, oh, if people are wanting to know, I'm happy to teach. And so I started teaching this divination class, which is a very hands-on. You get to learn how to read tarot for each other, and do very many fun things in divination. I also started teaching an animal totems workshop. So you start to learn how nature is always talking to you if you pay attention. And those classes were always the first to get fully sold out, fully booked each and every time.
Wow.
So that was a big sign for me, like, people are ready. You're no longer ahead of your time with this. People are ready. So just hold the space for people. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm just going to trust, right? Because all of this is spirit teaching me how to trust. And so from there, then people, you know, started coming to me for private readings. And I did not know I was a medium. I just know that, I'm able to interpret certain signs and symbols and give somebody guidance from the cards or from just even picking up the energy, because I'm a very sensitive person. But then now, as I started giving these private readings, people who had people who had lost loved ones, their loved ones would come through and be like, hey, Nyams, you need to tell this person this. And so I'm like, okay, this is gonna sound real crazy, but do you have a brother who's passed away? The person looks at me like, you don't know anything about my life. How the hell do you know this? I'm like, we're just trusting here, right? Because even I don't know what's going on. And so I start channeling this information, and it's been incredible. The amount of comfort that people have gotten through this. I even at one point helped solve a mystery. It was a police case.
Wow.
And the person who had a wrongful death came through to me. And this was like, I was actually going to this person for them to give me guidance. And then their brother came through, and I'm like, before we end, thank you for your help. Before we end, do you have this and this person who's come through? Who's done this? And is this what happened? Because that's what they're showing me. And the information they gave me helped solve an open case.
Wow.
So it's been something that's been so humbling and so exciting and so, oh my God, what's going to happen next? I do this now professionally. I hold space for people to come and to commune with spirit. And I also teach people how to do this for themselves.
That is so cool. What I'm hearing is, and that sat with me, is that the universe is always giving you signs.
Always, always.
It's how much you notice, how much you are in your present, and paying attention to the signs.
Mm-hmm. And aware.
Yeah, and aware of your surroundings. Mm-hmm. That can help you progress in life, or just give you the message that you need.
Yeah, and the direction, right?
Because the direction, that's
when,
the word.
When people ask what is intuition, because I mean, all of us, we're born with intuition, whether you're a man or a woman. Intuition is your internal GPS, right? So cars and phones, they come with GPSs. It's to help you get to the place that you're going. There's many ways you can get there.
True.
But the GPS is attuned to help you get there faster, to avoid traffic jams and accidents and things like this. Our intuition, that's what it's supposed to do for us, right? But now we've been indoctrinated into this very, very limited box of logic, analytic. You have to do things that you can prove with your very limited senses.
Yeah.
Yet we have this whole beautiful, powerful gift of intuition. So I help people heal the blockages that they have to accessing their own intuition. Because honestly, if you're best friends with your intuition, you will make miracles happen. I've gotten houses, I've manifested houses, work opportunities and things just like that. You know, people used to ask me, what are you doing? I'm like, yo, I'm just paying attention to the crazy and not judging it and just being like, okay, let's explore how this goes, right? And then it leads me to exactly what I was asking for.
I actually really love that. And I look at it from the perspective of masculine and feminine, like how we're so, again, we're in a patriarchal society, so we're so pressured to like work from our logic and common sense and prove things and be productive and stuff. But the intuition is firing most of the time when you're in your feminine, when you're more relaxed, you're more in the present, you're going with the flow, you're into your feelings and you're more connected to yourself.
You're receiving rather than doing.
Putting it out there, yeah. You're taking it all in the way it is. And I love it because I call myself the manifestation queen in my family.
Nice.
Because there's so many things, like including like the numbers and stuff that I have manifested. And I do realize that it all comes when you're sitting back and willing to receive,
yes,
rather than constantly like pushing yourself to do. But just like take a step back and just be in the moment and just like I visualize a lot.
Yeah.
So just see what comes up rather than consciously visualizing. I feel like if you just let your thoughts flow and your feelings flow, the visuals just come to you.
Yeah.
And if you're not prepared for that, that can be really scary.
Absolutely.
I had a really scary experience at a sound bath after a sound therapy. Actually, in the sound therapy, I saw like my elders that had passed away above me.
Oh, I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah. And then I saw one lying in front of me.
Okay.
And I got out of there terrified. I'm like, oh my God, my nervous system was not ready for this. Like, what is going on? But I realized it was my grandmother that passed away last year.
She's here.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what she's saying.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
So I did that, I think, early last year or the year before that. And then in October, she passed away. Yeah, I think a few months after I saw that, she was diagnosed with cancer. And then in October, she passed away. And I'm like, whoa, so it was her that I was seeing, but I was so frazzled, like I didn't know what to expect. It was just, I have goosebumps even now thinking about it. And I just thought of it randomly. I haven't thought about that in a really long time too, but thank you for sharing. So I wanted to bring us back to yoga. How has yoga helped your mental well-being, and how do you think, what can you tell the audience about how it can help them?
Yoga has been, for me, it was really the missing link, because psychology is what I studied. I have a degree in psychology, yet, and I went through many stressful things in my life, yet there was always a limit to that, right? So I found the reason why is because we have this horrible habit, just as a human species, of sectioning things off and looking at them in isolation when we should really be looking at things, organisms in there as an ecosystem. So the human being is an ecosystem. Psychology takes the psychological or mental aspect of the human being and looks at it in isolation. You're going to hit brick walls with that, because there's no way you can go through something, some stressful situation mentally, that it does not affect your physiology, right? So you go through an emotion, for example, like fear. And as soon as you feel fear, your brain says, I'm in danger. I need to do what? I need to protect myself. So your brain sends signals down through your nervous system to produce specific hormones, right? Adrenaline, norepinephrine, cortisol. These hormones raise, they do different things to your organs to allow you to either fight the danger, to run away from the danger, to freeze, you know, or to pacify it, fawn, right? And this is happening on a chemical level now within your body. When those hormones are being produced, they're affecting not just now the hormones, right? They're affecting your organs. Because if you're having all of those three hormones just running through your system, it's told the blood sugar, it's told the energy in your blood that was, say, you've digested food, there's all of that energy that's in sugar form going through your blood, going to these organs to feed them. It's told the blood sugar to stay in the blood. Why? Because if you're going to be running away, you need the energy to run away from the danger. So over a long period of time, if you have that as a holding pattern, right, then that's where you get high blood pressure. Not high blood pressure. You get diabetes, right? So type 2 diabetes, the one that's reversible, is, they call it a lifestyle disease. Why? It's because this is how it becomes. This is how it comes. It's from an emotional state, you have a physical reaction, which then becomes an operation, a mode of operating within your body. And so yoga, the lovely thing about yoga is it is holistic in its practice. You have the asana, which is the physical, you have the pranayama, which is the breath work, which goes straight to the brain, and you're able to produce different hormones that lower stress. You've got your mindfulness, which again, you know, they put the brain into a theta state so that you can calm everything down, including the nervous system. And so I found whenever I was going through these stressful things, when I would do the practice, whether I'm sitting down doing alternate nostril breath, or sitting down trying to focus on a yoga nidra, like different parts of my body, or physically moving in the asana, it would help me first dump whatever stress has been stored. Because remember, trauma is physically stored in your body, right?
Yeah.
So, and you can't release trauma without releasing it physically.
Of course.
So it's really started to be almost like my doctor in helping me dump out a lot of this traumatic stuff. And then help me now continue to tend to what's going on within me by allowing myself to observe what's happening mentally, what's happening with my breath, what's happening emotionally within me. And so, and this is something that's become so, it's been so effective for me, because as I sit here, I will surprise everybody. In fact, I was telling your production team earlier that in a few weeks I turn 40.
Wow.
And no one believes it.
Yeah.
Right? And it's because I've been practicing all of these things. I've been practicing all of these things for a long time. If I had not, all of those stressful, traumatic things would have aged me way more,
definitely,
right, say than the average person, because I have gone through more than average trauma. However, because I was consistently practicing these healing modalities, whether it's, you know, yoga, whether it's breath work, whether it's energy healing, all of this, and the therapy, they have kept things in check. So remember, anything that's affecting you here is affecting you here. It's going to show, right? And so it's because it's been that impactful for me, it has ended up allowing me to help so many people, and that has ended up allowing me to even go into corporates. We were talking about being in your feminine. So as soon as I gave birth to my son a year and a half ago, I was on maternity leave, right? And I'm like, yo, I'm exhausted. My body needs to recover. And I would love to be able to hold space for people, like to go back to teaching yoga full time, but I don't have the capacity for that. So wouldn't it be nice if I was able to, say, now galvanize and teach groups and help them with these kind of, especially people in high stress environments, because I used to identify as that person. And so out of nowhere, I started getting emails and calls. I'm not advertising myself, but these corporations and people in really top-ranking places and in really powerful organizations have been looking for me, have been calling me, have been finding me. And that's now allowed me to now be a wellness consultant and hold space for people in offices, whether it's You know, I've worked with, say, the Ford Foundation. I've worked with organization called UHAI, with NALA Feminists. You know, I've worked with a lot of feminists and activists. I've even worked with the judiciary, right, with the Chief Justice. And holding space for these people, because they are in very responsible spaces, they are really high stress. And so I come in, the gifts that my life has brought me is the understanding of how all of this works, right? In as an ecosystem, not as a psychologist on its own, or as an anatomy person through the yoga, or as a energy or medium through the spirit. No, as a whole. And so I come and I bring the knowledge of this to these people, right?
I love how you said it's a whole ecosystem, because the main reason I started this podcast was to bring awareness to that. Mm-hmm. Like you have one issue and you go to a specialized doctor and they just see the symptom and treat the symptom, but nobody understands the cause behind it. Mm-hmm. If you are dealing with anxiety, depression, or a traumatic situation, they just want to work on your brain with a psychologist or through talk therapy, but nobody understands that, hey, it's in your body. There's also stuff stored in your body. Yes. I also had a fascia therapist on my podcast that explained how fear is stored in your body, and how, like you said, when those hormones are being pushed into your body, your body also goes into this state of like protection, and that like clogs everything in your organs, but also like fascia is like a candy floss, which just gets more and more stuck and intertwined, and how it's important to release it from your body. So like how it is important for us to look at our mental, not mental well-being, but overall well-being through all the different aspects of the mind, the body, and the soul, and look at it as an ecosystem.
Yes.
And I love how you brought it out in your practice, and you bring it into your practice as well.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing your story and being so vulnerable with us. It's such an honor to be able to hold this space and listen to your story. Before we end, I want to add a little fun element to my podcast, and I call it the rapid fire round, where I'm going to ask you a few quick questions, and we're going to put a 2-minute timer so you can answer as many questions as you want, just so the audience can get to know you a little better.
Okay, great.
So, ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Do what you need to do for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you prefer, yoga or Pilates?
Yoga.
Cardio or strength?
Strength.
Sitting on a floor or sitting on a chair?
On the floor all day.
Herbal tea or green smoothie?
Herbal tea.
And what's your favorite go-to stress relief activity?
Cuddling my cat.
Oh, that's so cute. One wellness habit you can't live without?
Moving the body, so practicing yoga. Yeah, practicing yoga.
And what's your morning routine essential?
Morning routine is move the body, so stretch. Yeah, long held yoga poses and breath work.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And what's the one wellness habit that is a non-negotiable for you?
Looking for things to be grateful for.
Oh, that's so cool. And how do you manage stressful situations in your life?
Well, I allow myself to freak out and to express and all of this, and then I journal.
Oh, nice. Yeah. What's your life mantra?
Life mantra. Trust. Just trust.
A night at home or a night away?
Oh, a night at home. Big homebody.
Would you rather drive or fly?
Fly.
What's your favorite Netflix series?
Oh, it's got to be Korean dramas.
Oh,
so, yeah. Korean dramas. My favorite one is, what is it called? Mystic Pop-Up Bar.
Oh, interesting. I've never
so
heard
random.
Of that.
Yeah, guys, just watch it. You'll thank me later.
Journaling on paper or on screen?
On paper, definitely.
Great. The thing is over. I don't even know when it finished. But thank you so much. That was really cool. Thank you for being here. And as a token of appreciation,
aww,
we have a little present for you.
Thank you. This is so pretty. Oh, very lovely.
Thank you for being
here.
Thank
you. as I was talking about things to be grateful for, this is top on my gratitude list today.
Yay.
Excellent. Oh, lovely. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And thanks for being here. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Yeah. Thank you for holding the space. And thanks for listening to my story.
It's a pleasure.
Great.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Wellness Deconstructed. If you are in my self-care club, which is a membership community for moms, then Nyamwathi will be there answering all your questions soon. And if you need more details on what the self-care club is about, it's mentioned in the description below. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe. And until next time, keep prioritizing your well-being.